Blog Talk Radio.
The motherfucking saga continues.
Yo, yo, what's up, world? It's Badass Thuggin' like I usually do. And you better turn it up, bust some speakers out, cause we off the motherfucking cup. You dig how we do it? Dog Pound Gangsters 2000 and beyond. Blech.
What's up with it, y'all? Man, don't change that sound. This your player partner, the legendary Cocaine. And you tuned in live to Off the Cuff Radio. Better not touch that down. Wiggling.
Yeah, yeah, this is Cassidy, the hustler. And right now, you listening to the Guillotine. Show them the respect they deserve, man. Off the Cut Radio, man. Y'all already know how they doing it, man. I need y'all to stay tuned. They've been doing it for years. So show them the respect they deserve. And you heard it out of bars, mom. Easy.
Keep it moving like this. Yo, this your boy Rampage. You're not rocking with the best. With Off the Cut Radio. Classic. History. Fix your face to all you haters. We off the cuff, baby.
What's up, everybody? This your girl, Bonnie Dollars, the queen of trap, representing Crenshaw, and you are now tuned in with Off the Cuff Radio. What's up?
What's up, y'all? This is Miss Irresistible, giving a shout-out to the live show on Friday nights, Off the Cuff Radio, and I'm live from the 704. Make sure y'all tune in for the blazing hot music.
Kids, what it ain't, what it do. Chilly Chill from that original Lynch Mob. Off the Cuff Radio, always where it's at on Friday night. West West, y'all.
Y'all both know what's going on.
I'm gonna just have me a K-Bag. Big flexing. I don't gotta go to school. I'm gonna have me a K-Bag.
You know, I don't gotta go to school no more. I'm
gonna just chill and K-Bag.
Going to my down knees, bit back. This some itch and never get back. Chillin' at home, might have me a kickback. Brother upstairs with a chopper, got a kickback. Going to my down, you ain't with that. Say you a shooter with a six at. Chillin' at home, might have me a kickback. Just started up a new train, caught six rack. Couldn't do school, now I'm at home. Took me a break, now I'm back on. Walking through the mall with some Louis V flats on. Walking through the mall, about 35 racks on. I've been that chicken, you know that. Ones all black, no Kodak. Rats so big, can't fold that. Started from the bottom, can't go back. None of these guns ain't none like Spencer. Run me up a check, cause it's just so expensive. Know I'm getting money, how I shine when I walk. He popping off, but it's really just talk. You really ain't on none at all. My gang solid, we ain't worried about y'all. You don't want beef, one car, that's all. Hit lil' naked, clap like applause. You better turn in about face. Put my name in your song, tryna clout chase. I'm a racist, I only like blue face. Rex and Louis V suitcase. Whole lot of drip on a young queen. And a whole gang on the same thing. You better stay out my lane. Gon' get some money, stop hanging. Going to my down knees, bit back. This some itch and never get back. Chillin' at home, might have me a kickback. Brother upstairs with a chump, I got a kickback. Going to my down, you ain't with that. Say you a shooter with a six at. Chillin' at home, might have me a kickback. Going to my down knees, bit back. This some itch and never get back. Chillin' at home, might have me a kickback. Brother upstairs with a chump, I got a kickback. Going to my down, you ain't with that. Say you a shooter with a six at. Chillin' at home, might have me a kickback. Just sorted up a new train, cost six racks. Trip when I walk back up my special. Sad you the most, guess what, I ain't ask you. I done came up from the mud, flew past you. I ain't really wanna do it tune, but I had to. I got the sauce in the season. Act like a boss for a reason. I took some losses, I'm grieving. I took it off, now I'm steaming. I got some money this evening. I put in work from sun up to sundown. If you ain't working, don't want you around. I hit with bosses, don't mess with you clowns. No, I'm a star, baby, watch how I glow. Go on, peep game and copy the flow. Shout out to bro. You don't even know how hard we go. Just to get the gram going dumb, dumb. You know who I am, I'm the one. You a fake one, I'm a real one. Been a fake one and you still one. Let me in the booth, I'ma kill some. Think I won't, but I'm dating, I will, son. Tell me if you want, you'll feel some. Mess around, maybe, but kill some. Going down these bit back. This some itch and never get back. Chillin' at home, might have me a kickback. Brother upstairs with a chump, I got a kickback. Going to my down, you ain't with that. Say you a shooter with a six at. Chillin' at home, might have me a kickback. Just sorted up a new chain, cost six racks. Going to my down these bit back. This some itch and never get back. Chillin' at home, might have me a kickback. Brother upstairs with a chump, I got a kickback. Going to my down, you ain't with that. Say you a shooter with a six at. Chillin' at home, might have me a kickback. Just sorted up a new chain, cost six racks.
Yeah, you know. When you don't gotta go to school, you can have one every week. Big drip, you know. Matter of fact, I think I'll have another kid back next weekend. Louis, everything, you know.
Yeah.
bitch out fighting over the same nigga.
The same nigga.
Bitch, I'm way too cool to come and hang with you. We ain't never been no rider, you a lane switcher. Ben Frank, my best friend, he made my chain bigger.
Bigger.
Don't ask me who I talk to, you ain't my main nigga. Just be happy that you here and stay in your lane, nigga. You sound like a lame the way you complain. You should be ashamed, nigga. Before you met me, you a plain Jane, nigga.
Okay, nigga.
He say I'm a problem, he don't know why he deal with my toxic ass. Bitch, I might just take your man, have him cut you off and then block his ass. He was paying your bills, now your rent money my pocket cash. I'll make him fall in love, and then I drop his ass like a college class. I'm petty, kill these hoes' dreams like I'm Freddy. Just put diamonds all in my belly. And I keep catching a neck cramp, cause my chain's way too heavy. My whip way too foreign, German engineering ain't no Chevy. That nigga know I don't love his ass, but I'll spend his cash if he let me. A queen, I belong in the palace. I am not chasing a nigga, I'm chasing the money, the power, and status. These niggas gon' say I'm the baddest, just make sure you tell them my pocket's the fattest. Lil' Spinny ain't never been average. She's solid and you little bitches is mad. How y'all friends, but y'all fighting over the same nigga?
The same nigga?
Bitch, I'm way too cool to come and hang with you. We ain't never been no rider, you a lane switcher. Ben Frank, my best friend, he made my chain bigger. Don't ask me who I talk to, you ain't my main nigga. Just be happy that you here and stay in your lane, nigga. You sound like a lame the way you complain. You should be ashamed, nigga. Before you met me, you was plain Jane, nigga.
Okay, nigga. And I keep catching a neck cramp, my chain's way too heavy.
You kinda hurt right now, yeah. Might gotta take this bit off.
My whip way too foreign, German engineering ain't no shit.
Come on, let's go to the car, let's go.
Right, what it do with the man King Eric the Media Assassin, and we have a double header lined up tonight. Episode 567 for hour one and episode 568 for hour two. That's how we doing it out here. This is Off the Cuff Radio. King Eric Media Assassin in the building. This show is sponsored by Buddy Boy Entertainment, Screwball Radio, Da Vinci Clothing, Fleetwood and the Cock Pickers. My host T Max with the Facts is on the line right now. What's the deal?
What it do, what it, man? Look, what it do, what it do, y'all. We back at it once again, another Fresh Friday on an OTC frequency. Shout out to our co-host, Sarah and Lana Cranmanny, and Lady Chinchilla, of course, 30 Days from Radio. Shout out to DJs and stuff in New York. And as King said, we got a double header tonight with two.
Yes, sir. Hey, you know, and you know what, and you know how we're going to do this? We're going to do it a little bit different, though, because, you know, we're going to wait for her to join us in about 5 minutes. But before, you know, we go on, you know, we bring our guests on. She's going to call in probably about 5 minutes. First thing we got to say is big happy heavenly birthday to the godfather of gangster rap, Eazy-E. He would have been 57
Man,
today.
Yeah. You know, King, we grew up in that era of what would eventually be called gangster rap or reality rap because it's spoken from a real place. And while Eazy-E had a lot said about him, one thing is indisputable and irrefutable. That man is one of the pioneers in terms, not in terms of really, really, really giving street rap reverence and influence. When you look at the beginnings of gangster rap, you know, there's pretty much three pioneers, if you break it down. There's Schooly D, there's Ice-T, and then there's N.W.A. collectively. And E.D. was part of, was, you know, part of that group. And without E.D.'s vision of what N.W.A. would eventually become, I mean, who knows what a rap game would be today? He is a historically significant figure for the hip-hop culture, an integral part of the movement, and 28 years after his death, his legacy and his legendary still live on. Much love to the late Eric Lynn Wright, who we all know and respect and love as Eazy-E.
Absolutely. And, you know, on a somber note, this will also mark the day where Tupac Shakur was killed, or he was shot four times in Las Vegas. It marks that same day.
Yeah,
ironically enough, on Eazy's birthday. I mean, that's the crazy part about it. But
yeah, what are the odds?
Truly a dark time around that period, man. And it's great to see Tupac's legacy being upheld in a high standard because that man brought a lot to the table in terms of swagger, passion, work ethic, style. All these niggas try to be him, but they can't be him. The best way you could be him is you could take a couple shots. And we ain't talking about Patron, nigga.
You know, King, when we look at Pac, when we look at the beginnings of him with Digital Underground being a backup dancer to eventually blossoming into a solo artist, we look at him, you know, being born in Harlem, New York, you know, being in a family of Black Panthers. When Pop started on his musical journey, and for a lot of people who claim to be Pac fans but can't name past three songs of Dear Mama, I Ain't Mad At You, and I Get Around, we're going to give you a cheat code. Go back and listen to that man's first album, Tupacalypse Now, released in 1991. Between that and Me Against the World, it's a toss-up between those for my favorite Tupac albums, although I love all of them that he did. But, you know, that man had a vision. He had a message. He had passion. And most importantly, that man stood on what he said, and he really, you know, had a reason, you know, to be the rebel that he was. Like King said, Pac epitomized the rebel spirit of hip-hop and the anti-establishment of the energy of simply combating, you know, he stood against the status quo for what they may try to say. He was like, no, there are other ways. As he once most infamously, you know, once most famously said, because infamous can be bad, but this is a great quote, and it's a famous quote. He said, I may not change the world, but I'll be the one to spark the brain that changes the world. And his influence and his legacy still going, lives strong today. I mean, no matter what people try to say about him, one thing is still, you know, true. His music, his message, and like he said, everybody's trying to bite him, so his image, you know, still lives on as well.
A lot of these niggas try, man. I'm like, y'all can keep trying, but you can't do it, man. It's
no.
Just, you can't do it. I don't care how many times you get hit. I don't care how many missed attempts on your life you're going to have. You're not going to be Tupac Shakur, okay?
No.
Y'all niggas want to have the swagger. I know y'all admire his style. Y'all get tatted up like him. Y'all want to get in trouble like him. Only Tupac can shoot at police and get off, nigga. You going to do that 35. You going through 35 to life. Come on, man.
You know, look. King, I mean, look, I remember when that situation happened in 1994, you know, when that whole deal happened with those police officers in Atlanta, you know, when that situation happened, you know, and they were harassing a black motorist and Pop pulled up to see what was going on, you know, and, you know, it, and, you know, stuff happened, and then, you know, next thing you know, he lets off on them, you know. But this is the crazy thing about it in terms of how that whole situation, matter of fact, it was 1993 when it happened. Now that, you know, now that I think about it, you know, when you look at it, but what it was when they looked at the fact of the case in terms of what happened, it turned out that these guys, you know, the Whitwell brothers, Scott and Mark, you know, who were brothers in the police department, they were harassing a black motorist, you know, and you know, him and his crew, they basically ran up on what it was with two white guys jumping a black dude. And, you know, like I said, things happened. Pop let off a shot, hit both of them. You know, neither one died, but, you know, and then it turned out that one of the guns that one of the Whitwell brothers had was stolen from a police evidence locker room.
And you know what?
I mean, you can't.
Just like I said, man, there's only few that can do certain things like that. None of you niggas cannot do that.
No.
There's only a certain way Michael Jordan can shoot a jumper. Y'all can't do it. There's a certain way Kobe can shoot a jumper. Y'all can't do that. There's a certain way Barry Sanders could run through a touchdown. Y'all can't do it. It's just certain things you can't do. And your damn sure can't be Tupac Shakur, man. So stop biting. Get your own style. Erase those tats. Take the bandana off, nigga. Y'all can't do what Pac did. He's the GOAT for a reason.
I mean, that dude.
It's what it is. But you know what? You know what? No, we have to say this, though. We have to say this, though. Going on, you know, rest in peace, Tupac Shakur and Eazy-E, part of the reason why we're doing this, man. And now to the business at hand. Our guest on the line for hour number one of Off the Cuff Radio. This lady, young lady right here is taking the internet, YouTube, TikTok game by storm. As you heard from the songs we played, she's definitely talented on that microphone, man. Her personality, as you can see on her blog, DTN Nation, shows her wit, her charm, her playfulness, and most importantly, her ability to captivate and grow an audience. So all you young cats out there listening to the show, this is a show you do not want to miss because she's going to definitely give you a lot of insight behind this content creator business. So let's welcome Spencer DTM to Off the Cuff Radio, and big shout out to Angela for making this happen.
Yeah.
Hey, can you hear me?
We can hear you.
Oh, great. I'm happy to be here.
Yes, Mama, yes. Welcome on. Welcome aboard. Welcome aboard to 567. You're a part of the archives now, part of this legendary compilation we got going.
Okay.
Man, look, DCM Spencer, this is an honor, a pleasure, and a privilege. King, you know, hit me to some of your stuff earlier, went on your page, checked it out. I mean, you got a total package of looks, lyrics, swag, attitude, and all types of stunt tactics that even Evil could, even Evil Knievel couldn't pull off. I mean, look, XXL Magazine, if you're listening, you got an early candidate to be on your top 10 freshman list for next year. This girl right here. We set it on Off the Cuff first. Put her on that cover for next year, all right?
Thank you.
Definitely.
Yeah, man.
Great to have you with us. Tell us a little bit about yourself. Tell our audience all about you.
Oh, can you repeat that? I didn't hear you.
Yeah, welcome. Tell our audience a little bit about yourself, you know, where you come from and how you started rapping.
What's going on, guys? You know, it's your girl, Sister BTM. I'm from Atlanta, Georgia, on the east side. I started rapping when I was in middle school, well, the beginning of high school, kind of, so, like, in the middle of 8th and 9th grade. And basically, what happened was, these boys made a diss track on me, so I was like, oh, nah, I'm not going to let y'all pull me. So I made a diss track on them. And then after I made the diss track on them, I just kind of kept rapping after that.
That's how I started
my whole little thing, and that's why I switched to BTM, because I do too much.
Man,
oh wow!
The boys dropped the diss track. I mean, we like house, way like.
Yeah, they had me messed up.
Man, look, they look. It's like, oh man, and I mean,
that's what happened with their story. We never really. We understand. We heard a lot of come up story, but we never heard somebody get inspired just getting a this track dropped on them, and then you coming back with that fire.
Yep, not playing no games.
She was like,
this was your first time rapping, I might add, right?
The first time I tried to like do something with rapping, my brothers, my dad, I've pretty much been around music all my life because they've all had their phases of wanting to do music. So when I was in, like, second grade, I had my brother help me make a rap for the talent show. And that was my first time trying to rap. And then I picked it back up when they made a diss track on me.
Okay.
And you finished the ball.
So look, she hit him with the Mortal Kombat, you know, MCing. Sister, we got to ask, though. What prompt? I mean, you're such a sweetheart. I mean, why would they even go there with you in the first place? We need answers. Like, how?
Because I had a little boyfriend at the time, and I was really cool with the guys at first, and I had, like, a lot of friends. But when I got with him, nobody was liking me. I guess, I don't know, I guess everybody liked me, or I don't know what it was, but they just hated us, and they did not like him. So the diss track was really about him, but they put me in there a little bit too, so I had to get back at them.
Man, look, it's crazy, yo, because, you know, this is...
Y'all did it in the spirit of hip-hop, man, which is rare considering, you know, and no shade to y'all age group, but you know, a lot of y'all age group ain't really on that type of time when it comes to responses. They'll probably do like TikToks or memes and all that silly shit. But you got in the booth and set them off. So y'all really in vain with what's going on with music, which is commendable.
Thank you very much.
I mean, it's wild, Spencer, because in a mix, it's a mix of humor, but also seriousness, and then get back on the grammar. When you look at it from a perspective of how you bombed them, you know how you bombed first, like Pop did, you know. But it also speaks to what goes on in high school in terms of, you know, how kids interact with each other. And how situations can be said, you know, how rumors start, how people can be unnecessarily, you know, mean and ugly, you know. Obviously, you're not that type of person who brings that type of negative energy. So when they brought it to you, when you heard it, what was going through your mind as you was writing that reply back in terms of, these youngins gonna know, they gonna learn today, and it ain't gonna be in class, but I'm about to lyrically whoop they ass.
Basically, that they got me messed up, and I'm not going for it, and I'm about to eat them up.
Man, Man, look.
And I think it burned the ego because, you know, I think it burned the ego in a different form because they thought you was probably going to be a pretty face and you was going to hit them with the basic F you rap. Nah, you, from what we listened to with some of the songs we played, you were actual spitter. And I know they were sitting back like, we won't prepare for this shit. Drop the mic.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, so you said your family was pretty musically inclined, you know, your dad, your brother. You know, when you look at the influences, especially you coming up in Atlanta, you know, you all are part of being from there, the East Side, of course. You know, you all are part of seeing that movement of the early 2000s and, you know, even the 2010s in terms of, you know, watching. I mean, we're talking about OJ the Juice Man. We're talking about Ludacris, Jeezy, Crime Mob, you know, T.I., you know, Gucci. I mean, that whole movement of Atlanta. Shorty Red, you know, on the track. What was it like being part of that movement? Yeah, Soulja Boy too. What was it like being part of that movement in terms of watching? What was it like watching all of those artists come up, and how did that influence you, you know, coming up?
Well, my dad, he's from the West Side, so he listens to a lot of T.I. and, you know, those type of people. So they were definitely influential being with him in the car. So, yeah, I think being from Atlanta definitely has part in how I rap and how I talk and the way that I act as well. I think, I don't know, I just feel like in Atlanta we got the fire music.
Man, one thing about Atlanta, Spencer, that we always have seen is Atlanta is a world within itself. I haven't been there in some years, but when I went down there when I was younger, I absolutely loved it. I mean, Peachtree, Lenox, Greenbrier, you know, the Underground, I know it's not there anymore, but I mean, between the shopping, the women, and just the overall atmosphere, even back then in the 90s, it was all about a party. But as y'all music scene progressed out there, Spencer, you all really became like the ambassadors of the culture. I mean, even going back to the 90s, like with Outkast, you know, Lil Jon, you know, a lot of people don't know he was active in the 90s before he broke through. What was it like, you know, getting to see all of it in terms of what you saw with the artists? What was the scene like in terms of artists getting their music out, in terms of people hearing it, like the open mics or just people promoting their stuff on the radio? And ultimately, how would you take that blueprint of what they did in terms of you pushing, you know, your music?
So in Atlanta, like when I was little, they used to pass out the CDs and for the car radio. So my dad would keep a whole bunch of CDs, and we would be at like Kroger or anywhere else, they would just be passing out the CDs. And, you know, now we don't so much do that anymore because we have social media and everybody can just go buy the albums online or promote it and have a link for it for YouTube and stuff like that. So for now, like in this generation now, I feel like it's not so much of us physically passing out CDs, but sending out our phone, posting on our story, sharing the link, getting other people to share the link. That's kind of our way of passing out CDs.
Yeah, that's the new wave for pretty much getting your music in their hands now. It's the digital wave now.
Yeah.
And in terms of it, when you look at social media, because you have really blown up on that in terms of your social media presence, what was that like in terms of you starting out from your first song and then steadily seeing your movement grow to you being the celebrity that you are now?
basically, I first started posting, like, rap videos on Instagram. That's kind of what made my page go up. So it first started with, like, 2 or 3 rap videos, and it used to do really good. So I was seeing that, you know, the people were liking it. So I kept up with doing it, and then I eventually made a song, and I made a music video. I had all of my friends in my song. But it's just a good feeling to see that you're doing something and you're influencing a whole bunch of people. In the time span of maybe 9-8 months, I went from 10K to 100K. So, yeah, it was really just crazy, like, a lot to take in. And I don't, sometimes I don't realize how many people I actually influence.
What was it like your first time going viral? Like, what was that feeling like, the first time you ever went viral?
My first time going viral was just like, wow, that's crazy. I got so many people watching me. Like, it's so many people that see my face that know who I am. So that was just like a crazy feeling. And then you just want to keep posting stuff that the people are liking, so you can keep going viral and hitting millions and stuff like that. It's just like, dang, like, all these people are really tuning in to me.
Yeah, it's like,
you know,
that one feeling.
About,
like, if anything, it keeps you motivated to do more, because sometimes when you go viral, you get tired of people checking in with that video. You're like, okay, I'll post 3 other ones to make that one go viral. Let's get the movement going. And then sometimes the algorithm plays with you.
Yeah, the algorithm changes a lot, so you have to be careful of that. I really don't be knowing, like, when the algorithm changed, I just kind of post and cross my fingers.
Gotcha. Now, one thing about it, too, Spencer, is that, you know, when you talk about how you had that exponential growth in terms of what was happening with your social media, this is all organic. You know, this ain't steroids in terms of artificial pumping. Like, you really grew your audience in terms of real fans, real interaction. What has it been like? How, you know, while I know it's been so gratifying and so enjoyable, how do you manage to handle that level of celebrity in terms of, you know, kind of on your day-to-day social interactions, just going out? Is it sometimes a lot to deal with, or pretty much you handle it, you know, pretty well?
The most it really be like a lot of little kids. They'll come up and want to take pictures and stuff like that. And, you know, they've been making my day. I'm pretty sure I've been making their day, too, so that's never a problem. But when I be out, like, at parties and stuff like that, like, I've had instances where somebody would tell me that somebody recorded me at a party and then, like, made, like, a big old crazy rumor and stuff like that. So stuff like that be kind of weird. And then when I'm out, I have to watch how I'm moving and how I'm acting because of who I am, and then of the simple fact that people are watching me, hating me, always have something to say. So it's just really a lot of that. Like, I'm having fun, but I also got to be conscious of what's going on, and I can't have too much fun and understand my surroundings.
Yeah, because you're in the internet space, it's kind of like, in the internet space, you got to watch yourself and watch what you post at all time. Like, you could be doing a video, and you got to make sure your camera's perfect. You got to make sure everything is clean, because people are just nosy. They just want to point any little thing out. Oh, she got that roach in the back of the wall, or he got that hole in the back. And that could detour everything.
Right. Like, I don't know. Everybody's just always invested in somebody else's life, you know, or try to find something to bring somebody else down, I guess, to make themselves feel better.
Yeah. And that's always, unfortunately, the elements of fame and celebrity that are always going to be the downside. One thing about it is that for you being so positive, to be so inspirational, to be so genuine, we are always going to support your movement, is anybody else of good sense and a benevolent heart and a kind heart, because you're doing something that is something most importantly that you love and other people love because you do it. Inevitably, there's going to be hate because you're doing something at a high level, at a talented level that a lot of people, they can't do. So, you, like you said, you have a very good head on your shoulders of that cognitive reasoning of understanding how important it is to watch what you do, how to watch your movements, how to watch your associations. Everything from jealousy right. to outright maliciousness is ever present. We see a lot of young people today, especially, who really, really strive for a celebrity profile, but psychologically are sometimes not equipped to handle it in terms of the emotions, the attention, and, you know, understanding the depths of what it means to be in that.
yep.
When you look at you and your peer group, Spencer, for this day, how do you think the social media has affected your generation in terms of how, as a whole, you know, you all interact on social media and how you all are using that in terms of letting people into your life?
I feel like back in the days, I guess before there was really like smartphones and texting and internet and stuff like that, everybody wasn't as connected. Like once you left school and once you went home, that was it. Unless, you know, you use the phone to call and everybody's coming around. But I feel like now a lot of more drama and negative stuff gets passed around way quicker because we have this social media and this cell phone at our fingertips. And we have so much access to so much information that it's almost, like, bad, you know?
Yeah, because the information is too widespread.
Yeah. Like, some celebrities can't even go, I don't know, walk down the street and they get pictures taken of themselves and it's posted on the shade room and all that type of stuff. Like, don't nobody really have any privacy anymore. Like, everything's just out there.
Part of it, too, is a lot of people love, they just love the attention, too, because the attention can be very addictive for a lot of people, especially those that went from the background nerd to all of a sudden being the front of the class now. So they get that new form of attention, and sometimes they don't know how to handle it.
Yeah.
Now, one thing about it is that you have obviously made waves with your music. Pretty much when you look at being part of, you know, that wave of female artists really making a name, you know, Glorilla, Cardi B, you know, Sukihana, you know, so many, you know, Sexy Red, you know, all of them who have really started getting attention out there and really doing music. As a woman, How important is it for you for you to express yourself in a fashion that is genuine and what you would feel is respectful and a positive representation of Black women in hip hop?
I feel like it's very important because it's a lot of, first of all, females are taking over the game right now. For one, for two, it's a lot of females. Like, I feel like what's going to make me different, I'm not going to, you know, show as much skin or talk about, you know, the stuff that a lot of other female rappers be talking about because I want to be a role model and kind of help build our generation. I feel like it's a lot of negative things or, like, kind of provocative things that's kind of shaping our generation right now, and I feel like we're kind of gone a little bit, just like with relationships or anything like that have to do with us interacting. It just be a lot of negative things. So I want to be a positive role model for my peers.
Now with you becoming, you know, your channel was growing, you know, I looked at some of your TikTok and everything. It became very massive. And, you know, with that comes, when you go viral and you go out there, it comes with a lot of hate, comes with a lot of trolls. Now, you can't explain to people, like, what's the keys to having a thin skin, because it can be tough at times dealing with a lot of these trolls and people that just talk stuff about you and from a safe haven place. So how do you deal with possible trolls? Do you just block them or do you just ignore them and just go about your business?
I don't read a lot of my comments. Like, the hateful ones, I don't really read them. And when I do, I don't really care. I just laugh at them because when I go to their page, it say follow back. So, like, at the end of the day, you still follow me. You still watching me for a reason. I don't know if that's to sit up and, you know, be mad and wish to have my life every day or what it is. But I don't let them get to me because something is making them mad and feel that way, and it's not me. But I just let them have it. Or sometimes, you know, I like to troll, because if you're going to comment under my page, you got to have some tough skin too, because you might not like what I say back. So, I mean, hey. But for everybody else, so don't be like me. Don't argue with them, guys. Just ignore it. They're definitely bored. They don't have nothing else to do with their time, and they want to be you. So keep doing you and keep giving them something to talk about.
Man, look, she done give you all that fair warning. Y'all pop off, she gonna pop them lyrical slugs. Matter of fact, she gonna do a walk up with them words and a drive-by on addiction. I'm like, leave it alone.
Go buy your business.
Exactly. That you know, you are among also, too, a very prestigious class. Obviously, you're in college. You know, go Tennessee State. And also, you know, Megan Thee Stallion, who's a college graduate, and of course, Flage, you know, who's from Atlanta as well, daughter of the late Camouflage. You know, she's doing her thing down at LSU, national champion on top of it. Obviously, education is something that you are endeavoring in and excelling as well. What does it mean to be able to be in school and to really, really, you know, especially, you know, at an HBCU, you know, and really, like, what's that experience been like in terms of your academia and, you know, your social interaction?
It's been very fun. I feel like everybody out here so far I've met has been very nice and welcoming. Academically, the classes are actually not that bad. I like it way more than high school. Everybody, like, from elementary school to high school, the teachers always tell you, they're not gonna baby you in college. It's gonna be a lot harder, da da da. But I feel like the freedom is what makes it a lot easier. Like, we don't be in class that long. We do have to study and stuff like that, but it's not like you get a whole bunch of homework to do every single night. Like, it just be kind of bigger things that you have to do, but not as many. So I feel like it's going good for me. And meeting people and networking is also going really good. I like seeing the Greeks perform. I love the college life. I'm really loving my HBCU.
People don't understand being around that black college atmosphere. It just, it's a different type of vibe. You know what I mean? It's a very fun vibe.
Yeah.
Energetic vibe.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's a great vibe. I love it out here.
Now, one thing about it, too, is you got the music, you got the look, you got the smart. In terms of where you're going with it in terms of your career, are you looking to stay independent with your product, or maybe down the line, if the deal is right, maybe you may want to move on to a major in terms of having a major label, you know, you and them do a partnership in terms of you, you know, linking with somebody?
Can you repeat it? The phone went in and out.
It's okay. Yeah, yeah. In terms of what you're doing, in terms of having everything that you need in terms of look, talent, you know, and intelligence, you know, for having a phenomenal career ahead of you, are you looking to stay independent with what you're doing, or down the line would you want to sign with a major label to kind of further your movie?
I'm definitely thinking about signing somewhere down the line, but we're just going to see how things go. You know, I'm still kind of open to either route.
Mm-hmm. Now, in turn, has anybody reached out to you in terms of doing collaborations or what have you?
Yes, I've had a couple people hit me up for features.
And usually, what are the criteria entail in terms of who you're going to do a song with? How does usually that work for what Spencer wants to do in terms of how she feels the song and the vibe is right?
I feel like I have to like the song or the content of the artist who's trying to work with me, because like, even if you have, let's just say, 2,000 followers or something, I'll still work with you if I like your music, if I feel like you can rap, if I feel like we can, you know, make something dope. And I don't really feel like the amount of followers matters, because anybody could blow up overnight.
Hmm. That's wisdom right there.
It shows you that how seriously you take it, because it's not a game. It's like it's about how you live and how you, because you know you have a background in music, and therefore you take this serious versus somebody that didn't come with a background in music. So you understand that form of discipline.
Yeah. And I think
hold on one second. Make sure everybody, y'all good?
You still on with us? Okay.
Yeah, we had
to
make sure.
And add on to what King was saying, you know, understanding that this is a passion for you. What have you learned about the business thus far being in it in terms of, you know, your publishing, in terms of just the process of writing songs, you know, getting it out there and just making sure that the money is right in terms of, you know, what you're making doing it?
I've learned that you have to invest a lot of time into also not just the creation of your music, but also the distribution and the behind-the-scenes stuff after you make the song and trying to get your songs out there. Like, that's where you got to really do the legwork. The easy part is making the song. The hard part is to get everybody to hear it. So they kind of go hand in hand. And you have to have a good marketing strategy as well as a good song.
Absolutely. Now, one thing about it, when you do the shows, how do you get it? How lit it be when you be doing your shows and you see everybody responding to your music and really, you know, partying and just having a good time with it?
It's great. It's great to see everybody, you know, rocking with you and vibing with your stuff. It's an incredible feeling.
And in terms of just living that dream, you know, obviously you're doing great things with it. Who would you like to work with down the line?
I would love to work with Lil Baby. I would love to work with Amaretta. I would love to work with Lotto, JT, and Miami.
Yeah, I think
that's what it is. That's what it is. And I was going to ask you this, too, about you and, you know, crossing over into the YouTube universe. And when did you start your YouTube page, and where is it going currently?
I started my YouTube a couple years ago, but I'm very inconsistent with it. So my biggest thing is just is the consistency of my channel, but I'm trying to get it together.
Yeah, because there's a lot of, because, you know, we post our shows on the YouTube too, and people don't understand there's a lot more work than TikTok, because you got to have a certain following just to make a splash. But see, with TikTok, you can just upload a video. Three of them it could pick up within minutes to hours. YouTube, it can sometimes take weeks.
Right.
Yeah. So in terms of it, when you look at how you have just made the stride, tell us about your college. I mean, tell us about what are you majoring in terms of, you know, what you're looking to get your degree in.
Currently, I'm majoring in criminal justice, but I am probably going to switch my major to either something in the medical field or chemical engineering.
That's what's up.
Gotcha. Man, well, look, when you were talking about some of the people you want, look, I definitely see you, you know, and Lotto getting on a track together, because Lotto is super lyrical. So I know you and her could definitely bring something. You and the City Girls could definitely bring a party anthem on deck. I mean, you have a very, your flow is something that is up there with some of the best today in terms of the music I heard. I'm not saying this just to say it, like, we fuck with
Thank
it.
You.
It's definitely something that you could float on a track, you get on anybody, you know, you get on with anybody. And we can't wait to see what comes next for you. We're definitely going to tell everybody out there on Off the Cuff, this girl got next. And, you know, the price is going to go up, so y'all need to get in on it right now in terms of getting those collabs.
Yesterday's
you know,
price
out.
Is not today's price.
Exactly.
Yeah, man, because, you know, it's just like what we're giving up with our show. We're giving people with unknown voices voices. And from the way you're moving, you're picking up a whole lot of steam. And it's only the beginning. Now, I want to ask you for anybody that's listening to the show and they want to be a content creator, or artist for that matter, what advice would you give them if they wanted to excel in this?
Can you repeat that again? The phone went out again.
Yeah, sorry. I was there for any content creators, those who are listening right now, what advice would you give them if they wanted to excel in this space that you're doing? We're talking from music and content creating.
No matter what you do, just stay consistent. Keep doing it, even if you don't feel like it's getting anywhere, just stay consistent. Figure out what you can do better and try to do better. If you really feel like it's not working for you, then maybe you need to switch lanes. But stay consistent in whatever you're doing, just stay consistent. And once you find that thing that's working for you, keep doing it. You just got to keep doing it.
Exactly, because you just never know. One video could take you out of here. That's why you got to, even if you only have like 10 followers, just keep on posting because you never know who's listening, who's watching.
Right.
And that's anytime, any women. Now, you know, as we're about to, you know, wrap up this interview, is there any other shout-outs that you want to give out personally?
Shout out to my publisher, Tanzi, and shout out to my manager and mother, Mama J, Mama DTM.
Yep.
And shout out to you guys for having me on the show.
Definitely. And you know what we're going to do? We're going to play one of your songs again to let people know what time it is with you, because, you know, we have a feeling that you're going to kick open a lot of doors.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, we're about to wrap up hour number one here. We're going to play one of your songs here. I think it's called, hold on 1 second, Wi-Fi issues. Too Cool.
Yeah, Too Cool.
That's right. So anybody want to chime in, the number is 516-531-9596. We live on the air. We're doing a doubleheader episode right now. We're about to play Too Cool, go on this music break. Thank you once again, Spencer, for taking time to chop it up with us. If you need anything, just let us know.
Okay, thank you so much.
You are very welcome, and thank you for joining us again.
Always. So, yeah, we about to be back shortly. We about to take a music break. This is Too Cool from DTM Spencer. Straight fire.
But y'all fighting over the same. The same. I'm way too cool to come in hand with you. We ain't never been no rider, you a lane switcher. Big Frank, my best friend, he made my chain bigger. Don't ask me who I talk to, ye my main. Just be happy that you here and stay in your lane. You sound like a lame the way you complain. You should be ashamed. Before you met me, you was playing James. He say I'm a problem, he don't know why he deal with my toxic. I might just take a man, have him cut you off and then block his block. He was paying your bills, now your rent money, my pocket cash. I'll make him fall in love, and then I drop his ass like a college class. I'm petty, kill these dreams like I'm Freddy. Just put diamonds all in my belly. And I keep catching the neck cramp, cause my chain's way too heavy. My whip way too foreign, German engineering ain't no Chevy. No, I don't love his ass, but I'll spend his cash if he let me. Savage, a queen, I belong in the palace. I am not chasing the I'm chasing the money, the power, and status. Gonna say I'm the baddest, just make sure you tell him my pocket's the fattest. Lil' Finny ain't never been average. She solid and you little is magic. Hi, y'all friends, but y'all fighting over the same. I'm way too cool to come in hand with you. We ain't never been no rider, you a lane switcher. Ben Frank, my best friend, he made my chain bigger. Don't ask me who I talk to, ye my main. Just be happy that you here and stay in your lane. You sound like a lame the way you complain. You should be ashamed. Before you met me, you was playing James. And I keep catching the neck cramps. My chain's way too heavy. Check out her right now, yeah. Might gotta take it off. My whip way too foreign. German engineering ain't no shit. Come on, let's go to the car. Let's go.
All right, we are now tuned in to episode 568, hour number two. We back. We had a great grill with DTM Spencer.
Yeah.
Me and T-Mass back in the building. We wait for our second guest for hour number two to call up. But in the meantime, man, that was a great bill right there.
Absolutely. Always great to see the young queens out there doing their thing, especially somebody, you know, like Spencer, you know, who definitely got both feet on the ground, her head clear, her line sharp, and her wit sharper. Definitely a next level talent that we're looking to see more of in the future in terms of the great things that she has to accomplish. You know, and definitely, sky's definitely the limit. And one thing too, King, you know, we think about it with BG being home now, man, we really got to speak on that in terms of before our guest calls in. BG's home.
Absolutely,
man.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. First of all, big shout out to Pittsburgh Pat for keeping us in line with that situation there. We jumped the gun last year because we thought that he came home last year and that ended up being somebody else, looked like a BG clone. It wasn't no BG. That was no G right there. I don't know who that nigga was, but the real BG is home. The real BG is home. It was a beautiful thing to see. And my thing is, I did a video about this earlier, and I said this. I'm hoping that he could just come home, relax, get his mind together. I don't even want to hear no music from BG right now. BG just need to focus on getting his head together, chilling out with family. Eat good. Don't worry about music. Don't worry about music later on.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, to be like he was, to do 14 years like he did, man, that's a lot, you know, and to still, and while, you know, going to prison is never easy, let alone 14 years. But it's crazy in the situation of what it is, bro, because when you look at what's going on right now, he still had that buzz for all those years that he was locked up, you know, because of what he had did with Cash Money and even then what he had started to do with his solo career on Chocolate City Records, you know, the label he founded. So you got to think about it, King, when he got out, he still has that momentum from what he had 14 years ago, even going back 25 when Cash Money really first broke on the scene. Not many artists can say that they could do a bid like he did, come out, and basically they're in demand once they get out. I can't wait to see what BG got, you know, once he really gets in the booth and he decide to drop something, because it's going to be fire when he drops it.
Most definitely. And people are talking about a Hot Boys reunion possibly in the works. I'm gonna give you my opinion about it. I spoke about this earlier. I don't think that's in the cards right now, because, number one, the biggest cash cow within Cash Money, who we all know is Lil Wayne, he ain't rocking with Birdman no more. He still want Birdman to get his money. So that's out of there. Number two, you got the man that created the Cash Money sound, Manny Fresh. He ain't going to be in the picture either, because he ain't rocking with Stunner. So Turk ain't even rocking with Stunner. So what we doing? We going to have BG and Juvie and Birdman? Like, we going to have half Big Timers and half Hot Boys?
Man, look, I believe it when I see it. And we've been doing this. We've been friends. We've been family for so long, King. So, you know, I don't necessarily jump out there getting crazy on stuff or saying provocative things. And this will probably be one of the most semi-provocative things I'll say. We know the business ain't right. We get off the cuff. We never tabloid talk. We don't get crazy just to be crazy. When we talk, to the best of our journalistic knowledge, people we know, things we've read and studied, we always are going to speak from a level of knowledge and intelligence. So let's just keep it brick. We know the business been fucked up for some years. We know that. Juvie said it back in 2001 in Source Magazine on that cover. It was the August 2001 issue. And he spoke about it back then, you know, that the business wasn't right, you know. And then BG in 2003 in Source Magazine does a story and talks about how the business ain't right. And then Wayne ends up taking Birdman to court, not getting his money, and wins the settlement for $51 million.
That's what I'm saying.
The business has not always been straight. Now, it has been some years, and I mean, of course, we can't forget about Manny Fresh, Scratch Magazine. He did a story with them back in 2006, 2007, I believe. And I will never forget what he said in that article about, don't get it twisted, I made a lot of money, but I didn't get all the money I was supposed to get either. Now, to give our listeners context on it, you got to remember, in those 2000, those 90s, late 90s, too, from every album from roughly 1998 to around 2001, Manny Fresh did every track. Now, you figure, King, that was how many albums between that, what, 3-4 year period? 98 to 2001, so that's 3 years, maybe even take it another couple to 2002. So you figure that's 4 years. That's roughly almost 30 albums between all of them. When you look at the Big Timers, Juvie, BG, Lil Wayne, Stunna, you know, that's damn near 30 albums between all of them. And roughly you're looking that would equal roughly to about maybe 300-400 songs at the least. That's not even counting the shit that was on the cutting room floor that didn't make the records, that is still in the archive. So that's roughly, give or take, what, about 1,000 songs that Manny Fresh did in all those years? For one man to do that. That's a lot.
Absolutely.
That's a lot.
I'm going to look. Now I'm gonna do my Googles a little bit. I'm going to see if Fresh did he have any co-producers helping him out? I doubt he did, but sometimes we just got to, you know, do our research and everything.
Absolutely, absolutely. We want to be as accurate as possible.
Because you don't want to, we don't want to disrespect possible other producers that came to the table and brought the sound. But
right.
Fresh put in a lot of work. We'll just put it that way. He put in a lot of work that he's definitely owed.
Absolutely.
Hold on, wait for this thing to load up now. I'm looking for Manny Fresh's credit.
Production credit. Mm-hmm.
Production credit. Hold on one second, y'all. Y'all got to be a little patient, man. You know how it is when you're dealing with Wi-Fi.
Only at Off the Cuff, y'all, will y'all get this type of meticulous study and research to make sure we deliver the most accurate information to the best of our ability.
Absolutely, because we don't want to do anybody that's listening to surf. Okay, we're going to 90. He's been putting in work since. Woo! Manny Fresh been putting in work for a minute. Going back to 1989 with the first album from MC Gregory D called D Rules the Nation. So,
man.
He did joints for Little Mac, who we know as Matt the Camouflage Assassin now. He did work for him in 1990 when he was called Little Mac. Let's see. Then we got UNLV. Then we got B32, Lil Slim, Miss T, Pimp Daddy, UNLV. He did work for UNLV. Did work for Gregory D, Kilo G, Magnolia Shorty. He did all the tracks for Chopper City. He did all the tracks for Uptown for Life for UNLV. Big shout out to my man, Lil Yacht from UNLV. He did all the songs for BG's IOU Volume 1, all the songs for IOU Volume 2, all the songs for Get It How You Live, Hot Boys album. He did all the songs for Juvenile Soldier Rag. He did all the Big Timers album, 1998, How Do You Love That? He did 400 Degrees. He did Chopper in the City. He did Guerrilla Warfare. He did Juvenile G-Code. He did Lil Wayne's Block Is Hot. Damn it, Birdman, pay that nigga his money. I ain't even finished. Checkmate, he did all the songs there. I got the work, all the songs there. He did the Baller Blocker soundtrack. He did Lights Out. He did Project English. He did all the Mac-10s, Baller, Banger Ball, except Hate in Your Eyes, which was for Dr. Dre. He did Young and Thugger for Kurt. Damn it, Stunner, give that nigga his money. Buy him a boat or something. He did Lil Wayne's 500 Degrees.
Man.
He did the Let 'Em Burn joint for Hot Boys. He did Boo and Gotti Perfect Timing. He did all the songs for the second Big Timers album. He did some songs for Juvie the Great. And notice after 2005 and 2006, he really started slowly fading out. He did the Carter. And he did the Mind of Manny Fresh. And everything else, he just started working like here and there. I don't know what happened to it, but I think what it was with the money not really being like it was, I think he kind of lost inspiration. Because, nigga, that nigga did about 15 albums by itself.
And that's what I'm saying.
And you see Stunner out there riding in jets and yachts. And you wouldn't laugh.
Look, King, we about to hit him with some other information. Because now, from what I understand at the time, guess how much supposedly he was getting per track? Take a guess.
I don't know, man. I'm still mind-boggled from this information I'm reading. I'm like, yo, that nigga Fresh is owed half the company. Slim and Baby need to cut that nigga in.
And that was part of the issue, I believe, in terms of what was going on about how I think Manny Fresh felt about maybe that they did not necessarily give him an ownership stake in it. Now, you figure he was in-house producer. So essentially, to just put it simply, this was his job. This nigga ain't have no other hustle outside of making beats. So from what I understand with the information that was told to me, he was making $80,000 a track.
Ooh, 90s money?
Now, 15, Now, you got to think, you just mentioned 15 albums. Imagine 15 albums and you're getting $80,000 a track over 15 albums.
And we talking 90s money.
Yeah, and early 2000s money. Yeah, $80,000 a track.
Woo! That's a lot of figures,
that's
y'all.
Right around, that's right around on the low end, around $5.5 to $7 million. That's just on the low end.
After taxes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, when you look at the story of what was going on at that time when he talked about it, it's a lot there. You know, with BG, you know, we know BG has dealt with a lot in terms of with him getting, you know, all the things he went through with his drug addiction, you know, and just being from the street, and then ultimately what got him caught up. So when you look at a guy like Manny, who was the beatsmith, you look at guys like BG, who really, really had a lot of other stuff going on outside of music that maybe was not the best thing for him. And you look at all these issues with Wayne, with Juvie, with Turk, you know, where, once again, money was not being dispersed properly. First off, we got to keep it Brit. Cash Money, for what they did once they really exploded in 1998, because they had been around. People don't know Cash Money has been around since 1990. But when they really kicked the door down in 1998, when Manny Fresh said at the beginning of Back That Ass Up, Cash Money taking over for the 99 in 2000, them niggas was not playing.
Oh, they ran that ship. They ran that ship with an iron fist. People don't understand. And you know what's crazy is this.
Mm-hmm.
Cash Money is one of the few labels that had two magnificent runs.
Yeah. Yeah.
In two different generations. Like, we're talking about from 98 to 2001 run, where the Hot Boys, Juvenile, and all them were there. And we're talking the new run from 04 all the way to the new decade with Left Front by Lil Wayne, Nicki Minaj, Drake, and all them, and it was called Young Money.
Young Money. Yeah.
That is very rare. You don't get two runs in this business.
You know, one of the funnest things about doing this show is that we get to talk about a lot of the trivia. We definitely talk about the history, and we respect the history. Even people we may not necessarily care for that we've said on air, but we are going to give people due for recognizing the achievements that they have made. And do we like Birdman's business? No, because you should always pay the people and take care of the people that helped you get to where you're at. But one thing about it, we will give Birdman his respect. We will give his brother, you know, Slim, his respect. You know, what Cat, and we don't want to sound like the old fogies, but what do we say, brother? You had to have been there to really understand how big that movement was. I mean, especially with the Rough Riders Cash Money Tour of 1999-2000. I mean, good grief. I mean, that was, ooh, I mean, you talk about hip-hop tours. That's one of the most legendary tours ever.
Absolutely.
You know, and I mean, you look at the party vibe that Cash Money brought with the Southern Bout sound, and, you know, it's still carried on to this day with G.I. Peaches, you know, with, you know, Sam from Belmont, you know, all, you know, some of these people we've had on our show. You know, it's like, it's for what them and No Limit did, because they're both from New Orleans. But to see how New Orleans came in the 90s and really just took it over, they kind of laid that foundation for what would come later from a lot of Southern artists. But, I mean, that movement was just astronomical. I mean, it was just a big – I mean, how do we describe the 90s and early 2000s hip-hop? One big party. No, one
had
big
to be outside.
Party. That's what it was.
You had to be outside,
man. I mean, you had gangster rap to a degree. You had the hard shit like the DMX and the Lox that were doing it. But, I mean, it was one big damn party. I mean, you had Jigga getting jiggy with the party music. You had Cash Money. I mean, you had No Limit. You had Lil Jon would come in 2001. Ludacris would come in. I mean, that whole party vibe was just, I mean, Ja Rule. I mean, you know, that whole.
That's because there was so much money involved.
Man, I mean, what a time to be alive during that era. I mean, that is, you know, brother, the early 2000s party era of hip-hop, we may have to mark that as the third golden era. I mean, I don't think that era is talked about enough in terms of some of the great albums and songs that came out during that period. I mean, we're talking about Jacob watches, throwback jerseys, big jeans, and white T-shirts.
And it was
fun.
It was a big-ass party, man. But you know what, though? Switching gears for a minute, man. We're about to go take a music break, and when we come back, we're going to come back with our second guest. And this name of this track is titled Take Your Time. So we're gonna hear this one out. Call number 516-531-9596. We're going to bring back on our second hour and full deck. Let's go.
Yep.
If you wanna love on me, come and take your time with me. Black out the world, lose time with me. Let's take a trip, baby, come and see. If you wanna love on me, come take your time with me. Let's check the vibe, baby, vibe with me. Grab on my waist, dirty wine with me. Baby, change the world. Move at my pace while I whine and swell. Love when you do acting. Your love, baby, all on me. Grab all my waist, take control of me. Bump and grab all you right to the beat. If you wanna love on me, come and take your time with me. Black out the world, lose time with me. Let's take a trip, baby, come and see.
All right, we are back at it at number 568 of this doubleheader of Off the Cuff Radio. That was a dope joint that we just played from our guest that we're about to bring on shortly. This woman, as you can tell, is very talented when it comes to her visual, her choreography, her dancing, her music, her content. And big shout out to Angela for linking us up because she has her ear to the pavement when it comes to discovering new talent, especially out there in the South. So let's all welcome T T-Rozzy to episode 568 of Off the Cuff Radio. How you doing?
Hey, y'all.
Hey.
And it's T-Rozzy.
What's going on? How you?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Definitely, definitely. Look, we heard the opening track to bring to properly introduce you. Definitely brings those Caribbean African vibes. You and Tim need to do a remix like right away.
Yes, we get into existence.
Yeah, hey, gotta bring those collabs to life, because you never know when
yes.
you speak in existence in different platforms, you never know who's listening.
Absolutely. So tell us a little bit about yourself. Welcome to Off the Cuff Radio.
Yeah, thank you for having me. My name is T.Rozzy. I am from Atlanta, Georgia. I am 19 years old. I just got started with music probably about 3 years ago, so I'm definitely a baby within the industry, but nothing that I've been doing has been little. So it's just been me and my mom and the family that we have, and through those connections and really just getting my music out there. And now we're working on our second EP, and I believe this is like my almost like the 25th song that I've recorded.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. You've been busy with it.
Yeah.
It's just something about Atlanta. You know, we just had our last guest, you know, DTO Spencer. I mean, what is it about Atlanta that y'all just always...
Atlanta's the new wave, brother. Atlanta's got to be the new wave. They got a second renaissance. You know how the West Coast had a second renaissance when you had guys like Kendrick Lamar, Nipsey Hussle, Dom Kennedy, and all of them. Atlanta, it seems like when it comes to the ladies, young ladies, they have a renaissance on their own.
For sure, for sure. I think Atlanta's been popping, though, since forever. I just think that it's the way that people give credit to Atlanta, because normally the people that are good in Atlanta have to go to L.A. or New York to make it. And then it's like, okay, yeah, they cool. And they have to be like, yeah, but I'm not from L.A. I'm from Atlanta, y'all. Like, Lil Baby. They didn't know him from Atlanta, so he kept saying, like, I'm from Atlanta. And now everybody's like, oh, Atlanta's so cool. Atlanta big cool. Everybody just now catching up to it, though.
Definitely. It cannot be overstated, C-Dot, about what Atlanta has brought to the game in the past 30 years. I mean, to give our listeners an understanding, we had the first iteration going back to the 80s with Babyface, you know, and L.A. Reid with LaFace Records. And, you know, what was going on later that was, you know, with J.D., you know, of course, Jermaine Dupri with Criss Cross, TLC, Dallas Austin, Monica, Outkast. This is like the first wave. You know, Organized Noise, of course, you know, Goody Mob. And then we get into the second wave with Lil Jon, Ludacris, I mean, GZ, Gucci. who was some of your influences out there?
I think my inspirations are more so from the Sierra, Janet Jackson, Tina Turner, Patti LaBelle, Erykah Badu, Beyonce, Paula Abdul. That's more so where Rozzy pulls from when it comes to Rozzy as an artist.
Now, we could say with Beyonce because of the you know, just the consummate dedication to her craft. We look at Tina Turner for her passion, for her panache, for her sincerity, everything. Rest in peace to Queen Tina, you know, one of the best ever to do it. And of course, you mentioned Paula Abdul, which is also resonating and relevant, because Paula Abdul, for those who don't know, choreographer, dancer, which you do as well. Tell us about that.
Yes. This, the balance of it all?
Well, not a balance. Well, I mean, whatever you want to tell us about how you got into it, you know, how you bring it all together. I mean, everything. I mean, we got a little bit of time. We want you to tell, I mean, all aspects of your talent we want to highlight.
Absolutely. Let know the work that comes
in. I've been a dancer since the age of two. My mom owns a dance studio out here in Georgia. So, and a lot of people think like, oh, well, then you had to become a dancer. But truthfully, my mom wanted me to become a soccer player. I was the one that chose dance. So I've always had a love for dance. I've always had a very creative mind in general, not just for dance, but for other aspects of life. But my choreography is very creative. And I learned that around like 13. And I would like pull all my cousins together and come up with a dance. And it wasn't like no regular cousin dance. Like we could have went on America's Best Dance Crew and probably made it to the top five somewhere near there. That that's how creative I was at such a young age. And so I've been doing choreography since then. And now I do a lot of choreography for my mom's studio, and I choreograph for other studios. And that's how I really embarked on my choreographer journey.
Man. Now, I mean, obviously, you know, with your dancing, Atlanta is known for coming, just being a party city that has brought a lot of dope, you know, dancing to the forefront. To be in the epicenter of art, dance, you know, music. How do you feel about just being in a place where it has enriched you so much in terms of being able for you to showcase your talent as well as influencing?
I feel lucky and inspired because it's just really easy for me to, like you said, it's easy for me to be inspired. Like, it's always something new happening. It's always something new happening. And I'm just always learning something new from everybody around me. So I feel very lucky to be in a space like this.
Definitely.
Absolutely. It also shows that you know what, every platform is a voice, so therefore you never know which platform is going to really carry your voice to the next level. No platform is too big or too small. You look at it as a platform. It's a platform.
Yeah, you never know who's going to be in the room, so either way you have to perform to your best ability. You know, you could be at the McDonald's up the street from a record label, you know, a record label building or a record label meeting, and it could be Jermaine Dupri's assistant in there getting his food, and you in there doing a little performance for Ronald or something, and you get discovered. So I do agree with that. No matter where you are, no matter how small, no matter how big, you got to be to your best ability.
Definitely. Tell us about the first time you started writing and when you first got in the booth in terms of, you know, when you decide to do music like that.
Yeah, it was actually pretty funny. So when I decided to do music was around the pandemic. It was when the last award show happened with the BET award show. And I think Cardi had just came out with Fresh. And she was performing. And I told my mom, I was like, you know, I want to do that. And she was like, do what? And I was like, I want to do that. Like, I want to. She was like, you want to be the dancer behind the artist? Like, you want to dance for an artist? I was like, no, like, I want to be the artist. And my mom's the type of mom that, like, if I want one wall to be polka dots and the other wall to be stripes, she's going to make it happen for me. So we went around the family, you know, like, Taylor wants to be an artist. We were able to meet up with a close friend, Abe, and he was like, I want to hear her sing. I sang for him, and then I got into the booth. And then finding my voice was a long road. Like, if you listen to some of my earlier tracks, like Mama Told Me and Toxic, I was not really comfortable in front of the mic. I didn't really know my own voice and my own twang that I was going to put on lyrics. But then as I get into more records like SNL and Love It Here, I really start to develop the actual rosy voice and flavor.
Definitely.
Yeah,
in terms of the pandemic. Go ahead, King. Go ahead.
Go ahead. I had to unmute myself.
Yeah. So in the midst of all of that, finding your creative voice and all of that, what did you find in terms of really knowing that you had something? What was that eureka moment where you like, all right, I got this?
I think it's probably a really big shocker because I had did Mama Told Me and I did Toxic, and I believe that my third track that I came out with was Tragic. And that was probably a year later, or like 6 months later that we came out with Tragic, and Tragic went viral. And that was my moment of being like, oh, okay, like I got something going on here. I'm not just doing this for fun. This isn't just going to be something that, little. This is not going to be something I'm going to do for a couple months and then give up. Like, this is real. People like my voice. People like what I'm saying. So I was already taking it serious, but it kind of, that's where I found my passion in it, was actually seeing other people believe in me the same way that I believe in myself.
That's dope, man. And how did it feel just knowing that the people were responding to it? We know, Dot, that music is a very intimate art. Anything that is a creative outlet, that is an expression, is very personal and very creative. Just like when we do the show, we take what we do seriously, and we know what you do, you take seriously. How did it feel to know you were really connecting people in a real way with them?
Yeah, it was kind of surreal because I guess you could say, like, in everything that I do, I'm not perfect at it, but I'm pretty darn close to it. So with dance, it was really easy for me to, I was winning national titles, I was going around the world, beating people, like, winning. And so then when it came to musical theater, everybody loved me in theater, like, I always got a good reaction from the audience. And then whenever it came to, acting, like doing shows, like I was getting casted for a lot of stuff, and to me that was on the back of other people, if that made sense. Like, yes, I was doing my work, but it was I wasn't the reason why people were coming to the theater, or I wasn't the reason why people were coming to the competition. Like, it was on the back of somebody else. So I think doing music was like, oh, this is really just only me that people are supporting, or only me that people are listening to. But it was a different feeling.
Absolutely. What have you learned about the industry in terms of doing music and how the business runs, how it needs to promote, what it means to kind of having a sense of celebrity, how you carry yourself with it?
Yeah. Nothing's really changed. I think I've always carried myself up. And I don't really like, I think the thing that hasn't changed that really should is the fact that I don't dress up to go anywhere besides when I absolutely have to. But if it was up to me, I would walk around in like sweatpants and a sweatshirt with my hair in a messy bun all day, because that's just naturally how I feel comfortable. But that's something that's going to have to change, I know, but I'm really holding on to the last second that I can keep this messy bun in my head just a little bit longer. And yeah, I guess that's the only thing that hasn't changed.
Now, what was the moment where you knew you had one of those records pretty much a home run? Like, how did you know? Was it when you started hearing people from different places rocking with your records, or when you just went viral?
To me, I know a song is going to be a banger or a good song or a blowout whenever I can listen to the song over and over. I don't like to listen to my own music sometimes. But if before the song's released, I can listen to the song like over and over and over and over again and be screaming the lyrics like it's somebody else's song, that's when I know it's going to be a good song. And Tragic was the same thing. I could listen to that song. I held that song for about 8 months before I released it, and I was listening to it every single day, just so excited for everybody else to get to hear it. But and Love It Here. Love It Here is another song like that. Take Your Time is another. I will listen to Take Your Time now. Like, it's on my playlist. A lot of my songs don't make my own playlist. And it's not because they're not good. It's just because I'm just really hard on myself. So a lot of my old music, I'm just like, ooh, girl, why did we put that out? But most of my new songs are on my playlist for sure.
But that's how people don't really like to listen to their own records.
Yeah, a lot of people don't. A lot of people don't like to listen to their own songs. I mean, I don't know. I think some people do, but me personally, I don't.
But that's always something when you're looking at how you put together your project and how, you know, you curate, how you appreciate, or maybe sometimes you might, you know, it might not necessarily be something that you were a fan of. And sometimes you become a fan of it later on down the line. But the thing about it is you always know that it's something you did, and the most gratifying thing that you've grown doing. You know, nobody starts at the top, but you build your way up from perseverance and understanding what your vision is and ultimately what you want to achieve. So you've done that. You know, you're steadily climbing. What has it been like in terms of the industry ears, in terms of have you caught the ears of anybody in the industry to possibly maybe look for a major deal or even collaborations with the major artists out there?
Yeah, we've, are you asking if I already have or any?
Well, have you already, or what's going on right now in terms of you talking to major players in industry, whether in terms of signing a deal or just people to do a collab with?
Yeah, I'm definitely looking for to sign a single deal. That has been the goal. I've been out to LA a couple times. I actually go out to LA next weekend to record some music. With AC, the producer, and...
AC3? You're talking about AC3B?
AC, he produces out of Diane Warren Studios, Real Song Studios.
Mm-hmm.
AC Burrell.
I've heard of an AC, because I've heard of an AC, but I didn't know if that was the AC3 that also did stuff for Doggy Style, too.
He does producing for the Braxton, for Tamar and Tony.
Okay, so it's a different guy.
Yeah.
Okay, got you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so I'm going to be going out there with him again.
Okay.
No. But still,
Yeah, I mean, so in terms of when you, what's a creative vibe like for you in terms of how you really put it all together in terms of how you, you know, when you get inspired to write and what you want to put out when you do it?
You said the creative process, right?
Yeah.
Honestly, it's a team effort. It's always a rollout that has to happen. Got to get people excited about the record before I just put a record out there. I can't just wake up in the morning and be like, hey, y'all, dropping a record at 12 and think that it's going to be like a big blowout with people listening to it and all this other stuff. At least not yet, but I don't think I will ever do that. So I think as long as it's a good month, if I can have 2 months to plan, that's even better. But just to plan a really good rollout with the rest of my team, then that honestly is how it works.
Now, you know what was very impressive as well is you also being very prideful of, you know, Atlanta. And one of the songs that I heard was the one that you did for the Atlanta Falcons. Now, that was fire. Like, that's one of the songs there that I haven't seen with such a Georgia pride since, you know, when Jermaine Dupri dropped Welcome to Atlanta. Or Pastor Troy when he dropped No More Players GA. So that, you took it back to where that sense of pride. The Falcons need to holler at you for that.
No, they really do. They really do.
Yeah, T-Man, you need to hear that song, baby. Like, she, NFL need to cut a check for Will, baby, because she tackled the pride of Atlanta, the winning spirit, and also you could picture football highlights being used as well with the visual. So the NFL, Roger Goodell, Holler at my girl, man. Let's get this money.
Look, we got to get that lead money, you know what I'm saying? Get that gridiron green, you know what I mean? Look, we done run up the scoreboard on success, and we still better than the rest. I mean, who would you love to work with in terms of the industry, people, whether rappers or singers?
I would love to work with everybody, honestly. I don't think there's anybody that I'm completely opposed to working with. And I get the question all the time, like, well, you know, who's your big list? Who do you want? And everybody. I want everybody to be on the Rosie train. I don't want it to be limited to any artist.
So who are some of the artists that you're feeling right now that you enjoy listening to?
I enjoy listening to everybody. I love Doja. I really listen to a lot of old music, but I love Doja. I love Lotto, Lakia, Flo Milli, Doechii, Ayanez, all of them. All of them are some pretty good artists that I love to listen to.
Yeah, because you got to be listening to what's going on and have a diverse listening taste, because that also fuels creativity as well when you listen to different sectors of music, like different generations.
Yeah, definitely.
Now, in terms of you being definitely an ambassador for the next wave of tremendous talent, especially repping for the ladies, how important is it for you to promote a very positive and uplifting image of women in terms of, you know, the music that you're putting out?
I think it's really important. I think regardless of the way that men interpret women in their music, it's also the way that women represent themselves in music as well. That really matters, honestly.
Yeah, and how do you feel about it in terms of a lot of female artists in the game today in terms of the music they're putting out, where some people have, some of the female rappers, some have, you know, summarily dismissed it as thought rap for some artists, and for some, they've been, appreciative and complimentary. Where do you feel like it's going for a lot of the female artists today in terms of some of the music that's out?
For female artists, I think that we're taking over in a sense, but I also feel like we just have to stay consistent with it and just uplift each other instead of going against each other, and I think we'll all be in a better place.
If people don't understand how, and do you feel that a lot of times things could have been evolved to a better space if egos wasn't involved? Because a lot of people cut their potential, believe it or not, by having an enormous ego and being complicated to work with. People don't understand how important it is to be accessible. And also, as well, your networking. Now, tell people how important it is as an artist to have strong networking skills.
Yeah, I think it's always important to be yourself, and I tell everybody, stay in the lane that you're in, because your lane's gonna get you to the top the same way somebody else's lane got them to the top. Like, it's just a different route, you know, but it's your route. Take it. Do what you need to do. You ain't gotta bump nobody over. You ain't gotta jump in front of anybody. Like, just do what you need to for yourself. But I absolutely do think that egos have a lot to do with it. And it's for me, I have really bad social anxiety. So it's really hard for me to socialize with everybody and network. But I really try. And I try to keep a smile on my face even when I'm having little anxiety attacks in the corner of performances. But I do think it's a big, big, big thing to support everybody around you no matter what.
Yeah, and that's something that a lot of artists don't admit to in terms of having social anxiety, in terms of, you know, we get so caught up seeing the glamour and glitz a lot of times of artists and celebrities in general in terms of their professions, because it is part of that to be in the spotlight, that we forget that you all are people. You have real emotions. You have apprehensions. You deal with a lot of things. We've seen a lot of meltdowns from mental health issues in the public spotlight from people who may have not been able to handle it. What have you learned about the most? What have you learned the most about yourself, T-Dot, given this, your journey in it, and how you have your time to yourself to maintain your sanity and your mental well-being?
Truthfully, what I've learned is, like I said, just to stay in my own lane and do what I can for me. Because I feel like once you get involved with other people, it becomes to where you have to figure out who they are, figure out if they're really supporting you, if they're faking. And to me, that's just too much to do. So I keep everybody at an arm's length. Still have friends, still do what I need to, but you just don't let anybody into your inner circle, because that is your mental. And I think that's where a lot of artists do not go wrong, but you get excited within the wealth and the people that come back around, or the people that come around, the new people that you meet, and you let them in just a little too close. And then it's hard to determine whether they're good or not. And by the time that you have, they already showed you that they're not good anymore. So I think that's been the biggest thing that I've learned about my mental.
And that's important for you to know when it's time for you to have your time for yourself to go back, to relax, most importantly, you know, give yourself that space. We see so many times on social media, a lot of people try so hard to put themselves in the consciousness and the collective of the public that it ends up being a car crash, you know, because it's nothing wrong with having your time out there. But I always tell people, take time for yourself, man. You know, you don't always have to be out there.
Yeah.
Now, everybody don't need to know what you're doing all the time.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You know, sometimes a deliberate absence is the most definitive of health and self-care. Let's get back to your dance a little bit. We still got a little bit of time left. So when you look at your dancing, which is obviously your first love and passion, who were some of the dancers from all genres? I mean, we can look at it from people like Mikhail Baryshnikov to, Savion Glover, you know, the late, great Gregory Hines. Michael Jackson, Fred Astaire, you know, James Brown. I mean, the list is endless. Who are some of your favorite dancers coming up?
As far as dancers, I want to say my favorite dancers growing up, I was around a lot of dancers within my mom's studio that I still are my big sister still to this day, that I was very inspired by. My mom is always going to be my first inspiration and somebody that I looked up to a lot when I was younger as far as dancers. Savion Glover, I took a lot of classes from him when I was younger. The Arnold sisters, I took a lot of classes from them as well. I watched a lot of So You Think You Can Dance, so I love Jasmine off of So You Think You Can Dance. She was definitely somebody that I looked up to, but those were the types of people that were in my view that I was looking up to.
And how do you feel about the evolution of dance and hip-hop culture and today in terms of where it's evolved to, you know, with some of the moves today?
I think that dance is going to keep evolving in different ways. People go find that they like to move their bodies in different ways, and then it's going to become a trend. So I don't see any problem in it. I don't see any problem in it actually at all. And I feel like everybody should be okay with it. And I don't think everybody needs to know all the old dance moves in order to move on from the new ones.
Right.
Or move on to the new ones.
Absolutely. And what is the creative process like when you go into what many artists consider album mode? Like, what is your creative process like?
Honestly, it's just figuring out how the whole thing will make sense for me. And how it's going to, when other people listen to it, how they're going to feel. And that's truthfully how it goes into with making a whole EP.
Now, in terms of setting up an EP, then you're over 25 songs in. What's the direction, the creative vision you have for the album that's going to come?
You said what? Sorry.
What you've done already with the EPs or the 25 songs plus you've recorded? What's going to be the vision, the creative direction that you have for the album that's going to come eventually?
I really do want to do a self-titled project, so that's probably what my first album will be, because I'm really in the process of finally really knowing who Rosie is. So maybe that's what the album will be about.
Do you have any visuals planned for the album?
For the EP, we do have some visuals coming up. We're actually shooting in a couple of weeks for the next visual. So, yeah, some visuals coming up.
And when you do, what did you find? What was that creative experience like in terms of doing the videos and all that for the promo run?
I honestly have the best creative team that knows how to take the random things that I say and be able to put it into a video and make it look like magic. So honestly, it's just listening to the song, closing your eyes, seeing something, and I tell my creative team and they make it happen, truthfully.
Man, but there are a lot of things that we've seen in this interview that are very obvious. Number one, that you're incredibly talented. Two, you are, the way you harness your humility and understand where you're at in terms of how you're striving to be the best you can be without letting go of your head is so commendable and refreshing. And also
you.
That you take what you do seriously and that we know the best is still to come with you.
Yeah.
I mean, when you do your shows and everything, what's that been like in terms of seeing how the audience has responded to you?
It's super cool. I think it's super cool to come off stage and to hear people say, like, you're so good. Can I have your Instagram? It's really cool. But like I said, that social anxiety is definitely a thing. So sometimes it is overwhelming. But when I am able to decompress and think about it later on, it's a pretty cool thing to hear other people say that they love my performance.
You be having it lit.
Yeah. We be having a good time.
Yeah, that's the people don't understand that. That's the not only that's where you get your money, but that's also the energy is your live performance.
Yeah.
That's very important.
Yeah, I completely agree.
But it's so great to see you're having fun with it, and that you're not taking it too serious, and aspect of letting it, you know, rule you to where it can ruin you. And while this industry is something you do take seriously in terms of how you move, it's also a situation where you want to make sure that that you don't let it overwhelm. You obviously got a bright future ahead of you. As we, close this out, we've enjoyed this so much. You're welcome back anytime, of course. Tell everybody where they can find you. Yeah. Tell everybody where they can find you, YouTube, Facebook, IG, Twitter, go crazy. Tell everybody, about your stuff, where we can listen, stream, support.
All right, cool, I got you. What's up, y'all? It's your girl, P.Rosie. You can follow me on Instagram at IamRosie_. You can follow me on TikTok at IamRosie_. And you can follow me on Snapchat at IamRosie1, and that is Rosie with a Z. Make sure you guys are streaming P.Rosie everywhere. Run up to Take Your Time streams and go pre-purchase the EP on Bandcamp under T.Rosie with a Z. Thank you.
All right. All right. Definitely appreciate you joining us. This was a great deal and getting to understand who you are as an artist, your creative visions, and what you're bringing into the dance. We want you to know that we want to send a big shout-out to Angela for making this happen. And Atlanta's on a new renaissance, y'all, so y'all need to get on it.
Yes.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, on that note, we about to sign up out of here. It was a dope bill. Big shout out to DTN Spencer as well on hour number one. This was a great bill, so you can catch us next week.
Yeah.
And we out.
Peace, love. Yeah, peace, love, and God bless. We out.